Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. Hi there, I'm Mo Abdelbaki, and this is aforementioned Paisley Penny Arcade. And where is the arcade, you say? Well, we're in it. It's all around me. I wish you could see it. You'd see colors, unbelievable colors, actually, everywhere. And there's pinks and browns and greens and blues and things. Gold, silver, let's see, Popeye the Sailor is here, and Nephi Perez is here, not in real life, a statue of him. And there's a magic eight ball and a golden orb, which you dast not touch. There's an Egyptian sarcophagus in here. Oh my goodness, there's a small one, there's a much larger one elsewhere. Life size, I dare say, and there is also the god Anubis. Well, smaller god Anubis. All sorts of things, lighthouses. The Paisley Penny Arcade is a marvelous place to be. And there's Paisleys. Oh my goodness, there are Paisleys. Facsimiles of me, I'm ashamed to say. A couple of them everywhere. A couple everywhere. Well, there's some things and walking sticks and... Oh, what a wondrous place the Penny Arcade is. Welcome. Glad to see you. How are you? Today is Wednesday, the 23rd of July, 2025. I'm awfully glad to be here, and I'm awfully glad you are here as well. Got a fun show today. I'm going to talk about an oracle that I think is absolutely magnificent. We've been talking about Tarot the last few weeks, and I'll come back to that because it's awfully incredible. But today I'm going to talk about the I Ching and how you should not be afraid of it and how you should be using it. Why? Because it's easy to use, number one, and B, because... it's accurate and magnificent and can really change up a lot of things for you. I'm convinced. I've been using it since I was 14 years old when I was introduced to it. So, and it's easy, 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 easy peasy, and I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm actually going to do an I Ching reading if I have time today. But I want to talk about a little bit about it first. I was introduced to it happenstance. I'll tell you that story quickly. I've told the story before, but I think it's worth telling again because it was like I was pushed into it, thrown into it, tossed into it, as it were, by my own ill behavior. And yes, I did not always behave properly. I know you find that so hard to believe. I actually have worked with the I Ching and the Tarot together. Now, I'm not going to get into that because that's a little more complicated. I'll get to that one of these days. I love oracles. And I think that oracles work quite well together. And we'll talk about that as we go. I've decided, you know, I get, you know, a letter here and there. And thank you for the letter here and there. You'll never know how important that is to me. Because it kind of gives me a little goose, you know, kind of a, gives me one of these. And I kind of go, oh yeah, I remember why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I love what I do. And I do what I love. And I'm very lucky to do that. Not everyone loves what they do and not everyone gets to do what they love. I have been so blessed in my life that I have been able to do what I love and love what I do. So here I am, and I'm going to share a lot of stuff with you, I've decided. Because that's why I'm here. So when you get it over the radio, and you get to listen in, and you get to listen to this crazy old man, a stupid old man sometimes. I was stupid today. I decided to pull a weed, two weeds, that were in an area, a rocky garden area, very rocky. And I decided, well, it rained. We got torrential rain yesterday afternoon. And I thought, well, I'll just go over there and pull those. And so I went down, and they were pretty tough. One I got, the other one wouldn't come, so I kind of broke it off. And as I was standing up, suddenly, someone pushed me over. Not someone, let's just say gravity. And just tea over tea kettle, or whatever that is, I was in the rocks. And I thought, oh, this is a calamitous situation, because I'm no longer 50 or even 60, and had to kind of, and I got up, I figured it out, you know, a little scraped up and bruised and not battered, because you'd have to deep fry me then, and that would be really bad. But no worse for the wear, I don't think. I just, you know, just kind of amazed, because I'm usually, that has not happened before. And I thought, oh, God, what is this? This, my friends, is time. And I went, oh, my goodness, it's just time is what it is. And I thought, oh, got to be more careful, because I'm not very careful about things. I never have been. I'm a klutz, number one. I've always been a klutz. I'll tell you about my adventures and experiments with rakes some other time, when I was about 9 years old. I'm not going to talk about it now. Or with cold poles. God, I'm embarrassed about that. We'll talk about it. Tongues and poles. You getting the idea? Who would be an idiot and do that more than once? I'll give you a guess, but that's another story. So let's talk about the I Ching some. I was a mischievous kid. There's some truth to that. And one day I was head boy of my ninth grade of the school, junior high school. I was head boy, and not for grades. Let's just make that extremely clear. But I was kind of a popular kid because I was very outgoing. It was either that or get beat up, so I was outgoing. I had an acerbic tongue at times, so the bullies learned that if they just left me alone, I would not be mean to them. So they were not mean to me, and we left each other alone. So I was asked to take a note to the gym teacher. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So they gave me the note, and I took it to the gym teacher. He had an office adjacent to the gym, and I happened to very quietly, because they scared me. He scared me terribly. He scared a lot of people. And I caught him singing to the mirror, using his comb as a microphone, singing Volare, you know, Vola, you know, that sort of thing. But he was emoting greatly, and he was dancing and singing to the mirror, and gesticulating wildly as he sang Volare. And as he was doing a spin, he saw me in the doorway, and I was just, you know, he caught me like a deer in the headlights. I was just like, oh my God, oh no, he saw me, now what do I do? It was a terrifying moment for me, because he was a very bulked up sort of guy, and he did not like me anyway, because I was the fat kid, you know. Compared to, you know, the weight I would eventually, I suppose, I'm not that big now, but, I've been bigger. Anyway, he was not happy, and as he said, I'm no backing, and yes, sir. And he, rah, 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 if you ever tell anyone about this, you know, that sort of thing. So I promised him sincerely at the time, sincerely, that I would never tell anyone about this. Well, it didn't last long, because it was the juiciest thing I had ever seen, this bulky, hulky, skulky man. singing Volare to his comb in the mirror. And so one day I was doing the imitation, which became extremely famous, doing it for my friend Dave and Paul, and my friends, Dave, Paul, and I think Pat was there, and I was doing the whole thing, and suddenly their faces grew pale, and I realized that he was standing right in back of me, and suddenly I felt myself levitate off the ground as he grabbed me by the back of my shirt and began to hustle me down the hall very angrily, and I knew I was in huge trouble. Now, he was a strong man. And I'll never forget all these kids parting like he was Moses parting the Red Sea. And he's just hustling me down the hall and didn't say, just panting. You could feel him panting. And I wondered if I was going to live through the, and my friend Joe, who is now a bishop in the Catholic, or not the Catholic Church, the Church of Thomas. And he goes, "Hey, hi, Momo," you know, and I said, "Hi, Joe." He says, "Shut up," behind me, and takes me into the library and slams me down, and I mean lifted me up and slammed me down into a chair, disrupting the peace and quiet of the library, I might add, and said, "Do you see these books in front of you?" Screaming at the top of his lungs. And the librarian looks over very disagreeably. And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "These books in front of you, you're going to take one of these books, I don't care which one, and you're going to start reading it. And that's what you're going to do for the next month. Do you understand?" Or week, I don't remember what it was. I was, you know, ninth grade, eighth grade, whatever it was. I think ninth grade. And he said, "Do you understand me?" And I said, "Yes." And he yelled at the librarian, "Do you understand me?" And the librarian looked over like, you know, "Yeah, all right." And he said, "And I mean it." And he, you know, just slammed his hand on the table. And all of this because of Volare. Imagine that. And so stormed off. And I'm thinking, I lived. So I looked at the books, and they were all Bible, 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 Jewish Bible, Torah, you know. And then at the very end was one book I had never heard of or seen before, and that was the I Ching, Book of Changes, Richard Wilhelm, foreword by Carl Gustav Jung. And I didn't want to read the Bible. I mean, nothing against it, but I was a kid, you know, and I thought, I Ching, well, I've never heard of this book, so I pulled that one out. And I started just kind of perusing it, and it was the Book of Changes, and it, first thing, I mean, it's an oracle, and I went, oh my God, this is very cool, because I had a deck of tarot cards for a while, and I realized, this is fascinating, and I was excited, because I got to come here every day for detention, you know, during lunchtime, instead of doing lunch, which is what I had been doing with my friends and, you know, being a complete jerk, and read this book. And the librarian came over and said, "Where'd you get the?" I said, "Oh, you got it from here. Okay, then that's fine." And he came in to check on me. He said, "I told you it had to be from..." And the librarian came over and said, "I know exactly what you said. It came from this shelf. You can't say a word." And I thought, oh, whew. And I was introduced to the I Ching through that happenstance. And I have to believe to this day that when I was 14 years old, that's how and why it happened. Because from then on, I was a student of the I Ching. Now, I didn't buy my own copy of the I Ching until I was 33. But that's because it was kind of expensive, this book. I went to the library, friends had it, and I borrowed it. I mean, I was, you know, kind of a mooch. But I finally got my own copy. And so that's my history of the I Ching and me. I love it. It's an incredible oracle. I still have the copy that I've had since I was 33. The I Ching, or Book of Changes, Wilhelm Baines. That's what it says on the spine. I have lost since the dust cover. They tear, they whatever. This book of mine is so used that it's a hardback, but it feels like it's a paperback because I've used it so much. This is the copy that I suggest, and here's why. The I Ching is a series of what are called hexagrams, and I'm not going to get into all the details, and I don't want to do that for you. But what makes it intuitive is the fact that there's so much you can choose from to read. And that's where your intuition kicks in. I mean, if you have a book that just gives you a meaning, you read the text and you go, okay, that's all there is. Well, that's, it doesn't give you a lot of intuitive choice. And so that's why I love this book. And honest to God, in the very beginning, I started doing readings almost right away. Not right away, because I couldn't do it in the library there. And you couldn't check out these books. But what I did is I went to the public library where they had a couple of copies, and I checked one of those out. Even though it was a reference book, there was one that was available for checking out. And I immediately started doing the Yarrow-Stock method, which is one of the methods. We'll talk about that in a second, okay? But it's an amazing thing, you see. It's an amazing tool, and it's been around for a very, very long time, over 5,000 years. It's a binary system. Now, there are a lot of binary systems around. There's one called geomancy. It's actually a form of geomancy. Man, it's just incredible. Incredible. And I started messing around with it right away. It said you had to use Yarrow stocks in the book. And I thought, I don't know what Yarrow is. And there was no internet at the time. So what I did is I got pickup sticks. My brothers had pickup sticks. And you needed 64. And I don't think I had quite 64. So I had Tinker Toys. And so I used Tinker Toys. And I did what I could. And you do what you can, and so I started with that and made it work. And it's a long process. I'm not going to bore you with that because you can do what you want to do later. But I'm just trying to say, this is something that is worth doing. Eventually, I read through all that and how to do that. And I started with that. And I'm a kid. Just a kid. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is so. But I did my first reading. And I didn't know how to do it, really, but I did it, and I got the hexagram, which is just six lines. And I had a moving line, which means it changed, and that's why it's called the Book of Changes, you see? And I was stunned, because I made sense of it. I said, oh my God, this kind of works. Now, I had been working with Tarot for a while. I'd had a deck of cards for at least a year by that point and had gotten used to the idea that you have to allow your mind to kind of play and to work and to go this way and that way, and you had to allow things. But in the I Ching, it was a very different process. You had to think, and you had to allow your mind to stretch a little bit. And eventually I read The Great Treatise, which is the middle of this Wilhelm Baines book. By the way, it is available. And there are billions, maybe that's hyperbole. There are hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of books on the I Ching. And I just happen to like this book the best because it's the book I've been reading for decades. And it always works for me. I've never had it not work from the first time I did it to whenever I do it. It just is that powerful an oracle, First, a little bit about it. Like I said, it's 5,000 years old. The Yellow Emperor. It is the only book, the only classic book that Emperor... The first emperor of China, Shi Xin Huang Di, I think I said that right, he did not destroy. He didn't destroy it. And why not? Because it was that important. Qin Shi Huangdi. He did not destroy it because it was that important a book. Because it talks about everything. Number one, it's a book of ethics. You're right, it is. You know, right action. It's a book of ethics and what to do. Because within it is the concept of culture. And not just Chinese culture, but it's the entire process of what to do properly as a human being. How should you act? How should you treat yourself? How should you treat other people? How should family be treated, you see? Family dynamics. It's a book about family dynamics. Because in actuality, it is a family. I'll talk about that in a minute here, right? It talks about proper social order. Proper social order. So you've got six lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, from the bottom up, and all hexagrams, those six lines, are all built from the bottom up. And so they also form all of society. So the bottom line are the farmers. Now, in ancient Egypt, the farmers were the most important people in the land. You might think that the king was the most, what we call the pharaoh. Farah was the name of the house. Perah, which means the house of joy. Perah. But we think that's the king. Not so much. Perah meant house of joy. The king was responsible for making sure that everything was copacetic between the gods and humanity. So if things were not going well and there was a famine or there was pestilence or locusts or the plague of blood or the frogs or the flies or, you know, whatever, as, you know, the hail and fire and all that sort of thing, eventually, then we did away with the king. We, slip of the tongue, did away with the king, right? King Djoser, he was the one who built the Spet Pyramid. He was so beloved, and things went pretty well. There was a 7-year drought, but they loved him so much that they put up with it. Eventually, things turned around, and he was okay. So you kind of put up with it. But the person on the bottom of the rung, supposedly, was not the worst. He was actually the most important, because the farmer feeds us all. Now, that's something we should be remembering right now. That the farmers feed us all. The farmers feed us all. So on the bottom of that, the first line represented that. Now the second line represented the local administrators, people who take care of everything that needs to be taken care of on a local level. We might even include, people who, like local mayors and council people and stuff like that, and, you know, the dreaded tax collectors, but that's how we get streets and that sort of thing. The third line represented military, because you have to have a military to protect you when crazy, insane madmen decide they want to wage war against us, because war is madness. War is madness. God, I hate war. Anyway, the fourth line are really, they're kind of the civil servants, if you will, to the palace, to the imperial people, that sort of thing. Eunuchs and so on in China were that fourth level, and they could be deceptive and so on and so forth, but they were also in a very dangerous place for reasons that I think are obvious. And then the fifth level, they were the royalty. They were the princes and the emperor and all of that. And then the sixth level were the sages, hermits, those types of things. And they sometimes left society. They would just say, you know what? I've had enough of this. Goodbye. But they were very wise. So you can see it was a whole culture within six lines. And in fact, everything is in the I Ching. Nature is in the I Ching. It's about government. It's about how to govern and how to be governed. So not only is it about how to properly govern people, but how to govern people properly. It's about marriage, about how to act within marriage and how to take care of people within a marriage. It's about family. As a matter of fact, it is a family. There is a mother, there is a father, and there are three children that are male and three children that are female, brothers and sisters. I mean, it's remarkable. The seasons are in there. There's nature in there. There's a mountain. There is thunder and lightning. There is the wind. There's a lake. There's the sun. And there is, lake, sun, and the wind. And then there's a mountain. And there's, thunder, I said that. And then there is lightning. I said it all. I get kind of caught up. There's how everything works. Everything follows something else. To every season turn, Ecclesiastes, yes, but the I Ching said it 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago. So, and that's not hyperbole. That is not stretching the truth. That is exactly how it is. So within this book that is so incredibly old, that was saved from the purge of intellectualism in ancient China, is an immense amount of information. And it's accessible to us. And it is still as germane today as it was back in those days. And it's at our fingertips. And there's many ways to access it. You can do it through dice. You can do it through beads. Beads. And it's just that simple. You can do it through the stocks, which is a meditative, long drawn out thing. Or you can do it with coins. And I'm going to suggest coins today. Okay? Because it's simple. It's to the point. I'm going to teach you a way to do it that is absolutely simple and flawless and easy to remember. And you'll be able to do it right away. Just like that. That was me snapping my fingers. I'm not so old that I do that and I break my hand. Okay? Now, let's talk about the anatomy of the I Ching, shall we? It's actually very simple. It's based upon a binary system, as I said, of yin and yang. You've heard of yin and yang, or yang. Okay? Now, use your imagination for a second. Use your imagination. Yang is, or yang. Imagine a mountain in the sunlight with colorful prayer flags flapping in the wind. Can you see it? That's yang. That's yang. Oh, the energy, right? Right? Yin is the shaded side of that mountain. Now, when you get to rarefied air, places like Tibet, the difference between the shady side of the mountain and the sunny side of the mountain can be the difference between freezing to death and being comfortable. Now, I live in Colorado, where I've experienced that firsthand. You can be up in the mountains and suddenly hit some shade, and you're thinking, where's my coat? Where's my coat? You know? So yin is very still. It's accepting. It's the earth. You plant within it. Yang is the sky. Right? It's active. It's motion. Yin is dark, shady, cold. Yang can be very active and moving and loud, and yin is very quiet. Without one, you don't have the other. You must have the other. It's just that simple. It's this binary thing. And when we combine them, we have everything else. And you can't have the universe without yin and yang mixed together. You can't have anything without yin and yang mixed together. Aleister Crowley was a huge fan of the I Ching. I mean, huge, huge, passionate fan of the I Ching. He studied it relentlessly. I didn't know that when I started studying it relentlessly. I just did study it. Dark and light. Everything is a mixture of yin and yang. And this is what is known as the Tao. The Tao means the way, the road. And if you've studied anything in Taoism, Confucianism, even in Buddhism, then you have begun to understand the power of this philosophy. And the I Ching is responsible, somewhere along the line, for forming and shaping this. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's a stretch for me to say that all of Chinese culture has been touched by the I Ching. I call it my Uncle Yi, because they pronounce it Yi King, I think. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to get into these details because it's not important to access the oracle. The oracle is available for all of us, regardless of our ethnicity or anything else. Okay? It's just a powerful, powerful, powerful tool that somehow is connected to nature. Why? Because it represents elemental powers. And it's a beautiful rendition of them. Some cultures focus directly on anthropomorphizing elemental forces, like the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians. The Egyptians certainly did. Right? And instead of saying that this is strictly, a god with a human head, they said, "Oh, let's put a head of an ibis on this, and let's put a cow's head on this one, and Hathor, and let's do this and let's do that." No, they were very, but the Chinese with this process give us a way to conceptualize and to understand the changes of natural and of nature itself, and to show us something that says, you know what, there is a process where we can actually ask nature to show us what these changes will be in any given situation, and it works. Let's talk a little more anatomy. What are the 8 trigrams? Well, I'll give you their names, right? And how to spell them. And let's not dwell upon this because you can get this in any book. All right? So the 8 trigrams, there is a father. And these are... No, let me talk about the lines. There is a straight line, which is just a straight line. And it's called the yang line. Okay? Yang. And that line is just a straight line. And that's that. And then there's a broken line. It's like the yang line, but there's a gap in between, like my teeth. My grandson, he just turned 8, he's got my gap. Oh, I'm so proud. I don't know if he's going to keep it. He could have, my daughter had my gap. She chose to have it removed, which I didn't cry. I was a little heartbroken. But, it's a good gap. I mean, I can put a straw in between my gap and spit between my teeth and whistle. I told him I'd teach him to whistle between his teeth. I learned how to whistle between my teeth when I was about 5. And boy, I whistled watching a Roy Rogers special on TV. It was really something. So he kind of perked up when he heard that. Anyway, the gap. So that is yin. And it makes sense because the straight line is in motion, they say, and the other line, the broken line, the yin line, is at rest. So you can see that it's, if you think about it, it's kind of, boom, there's a gap there. It's not doing anything. Think of electricity, if you will. When it's active, boom, the line is completed. It's moving. Energy is flowing through it. And when it's not moving, boom, there's a gap. I love that, right? So, we have the father, which is three solid lines, and that is known as kian. Not spelled the way it sounds. It's usually in the Wilhelm Baines, it's spelled C-H apostrophe I-E-N. I believe that's how he spells it, kian. It looks like French for dog, chien, but that's not exactly what it is. Although, boy, I tell you, dogs are great creatures. I was out playing with ours this morning, and what is better than that? What is better than that? There is the mother. Her name is Kun, K-U-N, Kun. She's known as the receptive. He is the creative. She is the receptive. So, and her image is a cauldron. His image is the blue sky. Her image is a cauldron. She is the earth. She is the black earth, and the earth is very fertile, black. In Egypt, the earth is also black from the Nile, from the black, silty earth that they have there. As a matter of fact, the ancient Egyptian name for Egypt was KMT, so it's pronounced Kemet by some people. Egyptians were known as Kemetians by modern people. and they called it KMT. That was the name of their country for themselves because it meant... it meant that the black earth. So that black earth is fertile and rich and loamy, you know. And that's that. And the cauldron being receptive. And, of course, the womb, right? So that's the mother. And interestingly enough, we have, when you have two male lines, right, and then one female line, which would be the yin. So you have two yang lines, solid, solid, broken. Then what we have is a feminine trigram. These are known as trigrams because there are three lines. Three lines, trigram. So the first one is solid, solid, and the top line being broken. She is known as Dui, spelled T-U-I. Don't blame me, right? And she's the youngest daughter. The youngest daughter. And she represents a sheep, right? A beautiful sheep, by the way. And she represents a mouth. And she represents so many different things. I won't get into that. I promised myself I wouldn't get into that. Because I can, you know, I do that. But she's the youngest daughter. And a lake. She's a lake. A body of water surrounded by land. All right? Nature. The second daughter, the middle daughter, is solid line. The next line is feminine, yin line. And the top line is solid, and that is Li, L-I, and that is fire, fire. And she's the sun, she's brilliance, and incredible. Oh, I love them all. I love them all. And then the eldest daughter is... she has the feminine principle, which is the broken line on the bottom, and then male line, solid, male line on the top. So, and she is known as Sun, S-U-N. And those are Chinese names. She's not the sun, but it's Sun. And she is known as the penetrating. The penetrating. She's the wind. And she's represented by wood, interestingly enough. She shares that with her brother. We'll talk about that in just a second. And so, but she's the wind, and wind penetrates everything, air, right? And so, but it's not air. It's one of the five Chinese elements. They don't have air as an element. I'm not going to go there. Not today. So those are the three daughters. And you notice something interesting, that these trigrams To make them female, they have two male principles, two male lines, and one feminine line, and yet that makes them feminine. Think of this. Hold this thought, because it's what I call the minority rule. Okay? Just hold that. It'll make everything in your life so much easier when casting the coins for the I Ching. You're a million miles ahead of everyone else if you just remember the minority rule and hang in there with that. Okay? Now, let's talk about the boys. Boys will be boys. The youngest son is known as Ken, but it's written K-E-N. So just like Barbie had her Ken, but it's just Ken. He's a mountain. He's a mountain. Whew. To know him is to really understand something. And I've meditated on these and I've worked with these for years, but don't you'll get to know them. You'll get to understand them. Oh my God, they're fantastic. They're fantastic. You'll get to know them. And you'll love working with the I Ching because it's so much more than it seems, but it's so easy at the same time. So that's again. So it's feminine line. So it's yin line, broken line, broken line. At the top, you've got the male line. Okay? And that is Ken, the baby boy. The middle son is yin line, broken line, and then in the middle is the male line, the solid line, and at the top is the broken line. And that is Khan, as in the Wrath of Khan, for those of you who are Star Trek fans. And he is known as the Abysmal. Why? Because that's water. And he's dangerous. Because water in China caused floods. The Yellow River would flood. And the Yangtze would flood. And it was terrible. And, you know, there would be floods. And things would happen. And people would die. And if it was unexpected, and there were problems. But, of course, we need water, right? So that's one of those things. You've got, you know. Now, his brother, the younger brother, Ken, I should say, was the still, because mountains are very still, right? But here we have the Abysmal. And at the bottom of all this, I should say the bottom, but at the eldest brother was known as Zhen, spelled C-H-E-N. Zhen. And that is the arousing thunder. Kaboom. And the Chinese believe that thunder came from the ground up, out of the earth. Kaboom. And it was invigorating, and it came in the springtime, and it aroused everybody. It aroused the plants, and it aroused everything. And it was wonderful stuff, and it is wonderful stuff. Although I saw a little bit too much of it too close yesterday when I was at the grocery store going from the grocery store to my car. Two huge bolts, probably just one bolt, but forked, and this huge Zhen over me. And I thought, uh-oh, a little too close, you know. Drenched me. And I was like, there's something about nature that is magnificent and awe-inspiring. It is wonderful stuff. It is just incredible. And of course, it's terrifying too. And the Abysmal, we saw the Abysmal on the 3rd of July in Texas. It was horrifying what it did. And it doesn't care who we are, you know, took the girls' camp and took these poor, innocent children. Horrifying. Nature is simply what it is. So, Zhen is yin line. At the bottom is the male line, yang, the solid line, and then broken line, and then broken line. That's Zhen. So this is the family. Don't worry about trying to remember that. Any book you use will have that. any book of, and it will just ad nauseum, and you'll get to where you know them and you understand them, and you begin to understand what they are and their personalities. They have personalities. Just the way you can look out and see these clouds coming in, you'll know what that is. You'll say, wow, that feels a little bit ominous. And that's what the I Ching is. It's a way of recognizing nature. It's a way of saying, you know, this feels a little bit weird to me. I need to know what this situation's about. And those are the questions you ask. You know, everything you know is wrapped up in those 8 trigrams. And that's not an exaggeration. In the middle of the Wilhelm Baines book is called The Great Treatise. And that was written into the I Ching in the original book of Changes. And it's a beautiful, it's really complex in many ways, but it's really simple too, because it's just kind of, most people don't read it. The book of Wilhelm Baines, Richard Wilhelm was a missionary in China, and he got hooked up with a Taoist priest. And the Taoist priest said, you know, he was interested, and he said, I'll teach you. I'll show you everything you want to know. And it's brilliant stuff. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And Wilhelm expounds on it and expands on it. And he says things that are absolutely genius. For example, he's talking about hatred in one point, and these are his words. Carrie F. Baines translated, I believe, from the German to the English, and she's great. But he says, hatred binds you with chains to that which you hate. Man! I'm paraphrasing, but those are the kind of the words. And I'm thinking, holy grog, great honk. Those words have changed my life. I mean, I read those words and I never thought about things the same again. Never, ever, 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 ever. It changed my life, those words. Hatred binds you with chains to that which you hate. And I thought, Wilhelm, you're a genius. And that's why I use this book and not someone else's. Because his book, his words, are an oracle unto itself. He was magnificent. This is the book. The book itself is an oracle. The book itself is an oracle. And that's why you may have books on the I Ching, but I'm telling you, this book is worth it. Now, the first part is it's the I Ching, the text. And then there's the great treatise in the middle, which is amazing to read. It's great text about the I Ching and what it represents. And it's the text of the I Ching that was given, blah, 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 to the Duke of Zhou and, you know, and all of that. And then the Confucian, because this Confucius was fascinated with the I Ching. And then the Confucian editorials, he added things, his school added things to the I Ching. And so what you've got is the I Ching twice. And in the second place, the I Ching, you know, they're kind of saying, this is why this says this. I've studied it, and finally I just said, really, who cares? But it's up to you. But the first part is kind of the working book, how to consult. Let me talk about that. The best way is to just use it. Don't try and understand it right off the bat. Just use it. So you're going to keep it simple. Use 3 coins, any coins. Don't use Chinese coins if you don't want to. That's really kind of confusing. On my website, which is, you can find it, Mo Abdelbaki, I think that's how you find it. I teach how to use 3. I use it, the Chinese coins. And so, believe it or not, someone is calling me, and I don't know who it is, but I'm going to ignore that, I think you can hear. Can you hear that ringing? Or is that in my mind? A lot of things are in my mind. Okay, so anyway, you can use pennies, in which case, you're just going to designate one side as... Now, most people would say, if using pennies, use Abe Lincoln as Yang, and the other side is yin. You can do it the other way around. It doesn't matter. If you're lucky enough to be, you have Canadian coins, which I think are fantastic. When I was in Canada, friendly people, I couldn't figure out what coins to use for their parking meters. And this gentleman said, hey, you need a couple of loonies. And I thought, well, I am a loony. He said, no, here. And he gave me these two. They were dollars, but they had these beautiful coins with loons on the back, you know, the bird. And I don't know. I would be tempted, since Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, was on the other side, to make that the yin side because it's feminine. And so to make the loons the yang side. I just think that makes sense. Or to use toonies, which are $2 coins, because they have a polar bear on one side and they have Elizabeth on the other side, you know, to use the polar bears as the yang side. So because they're very active, they're Egyptian coins. Some coins have a sphinx on one side, which has the nose of Gamal Abdel Nasser, which frankly shouldn't have any nose at all. Anyway, so you use whatever you want, but choose one side as the male side, one side as the female, one is yin, one is yang. And then what you're going to do is very simple. There are only four possibilities when you toss the coins, right? Only four. There are no more that I know of. And that is, number one, heads, tails. Okay? Supposing that heads are yang and tails are yin. Remember what I said about the minority rule? Heads, tail. Yang, yin. It will be a yin line. That's the minority rule. Forget about everything else. Don't try to put numbers to it. Don't do any of that. Forget about all of that. Let that fall by the wayside. All you're doing is you're saying, okay, heads, and there's one tail. So it's going to be a yin line. And what you're doing is you're building a hexagram from these tosses. And you're going to do it six times because you're going to build a hexagram. You're actually building two trigrams, but don't worry about that. Just build, first of all, six lines, okay? So heads, tail. You have one tail, one yin. It's a yin line. Or you may throw tail, head. Or yin, yang. It's a yang line. It's a solid line. Just that simple. Minority rule. Tail, head. Yin, yang. The minority rule says that it's going to be a yang line, a solid line. What if you throw three heads? Head. Well, that's what we call old yang. Now, the reason it's called old yang, because it's going to be changing. It's stressing out in its age. It's like, okay, it's old. It's going to be transforming into something else, which is it's going to be transforming into yin. But what you do is you draw a straight line for yang, and you put a dot in the middle of it. So that's the change, the book of changes. So I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't have time today, but I'll take this up next week and we'll go further. Okay. So it's going to change from yang to yin, but you just draw a dot in the middle. You don't forget, you just forget about everything else. And if it's tail, yin, that's old yin. And it's going to change from yin to yang. So with that, you draw the broken line, the yin line, and you draw an X in the middle. And that's it. That's it. Just that simple. You can play this over again. You can download this at 12radio.com if you're listening live. And you can play it back, or you can go to my site on YouTube and you can watch the thing I've done about this, the thing, how precise is that? And you can watch it over and over again. It's I think it's good. People have told me it's good, and you can get a good feel of how to do this. It's actually very, very simple. Now with 2 minutes left, I can't, but next week we're going to take up where we left off. I'm going to do an I Ching reading to show you exactly how easy this is. I'm going to use Wilhelm Baines, and show you how simple it is to do a real reading. I will do a real reading. If you have questions you want to ask, if you have real questions, you know, don't make them personal, if you don't mind, because I don't want to, you know, it's a little, something that might have some meaning, just because I want everyone to be able to benefit from it. But just ask a question, and I'll toss the coins. If you don't ask me anything, then I'll come up with something myself, and we'll do readings, and I'll show you how I do it, okay? Because that's my time for the week. So that's that. That's the I Ching. And why you should be doing this? Because you will use it for the rest of your life. I know people who cast the coins every day, who ask questions every day. I use dice. I use coins. I use, man, it's really incredibly far out. And I mean that. It is wonderful. It's worth doing. And there you are. All right. That's my time for this week. I hope you are doing fantastically. I love you all, and you know I mean it. And until next week, I wish you all peace and love. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.